It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast as we talk real estate, as you know, right around the UAE and available on Spotify this morning, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And a Saturday morning, yeah, the weekend, it has arrived. It's the 30th day of March, the weekend of Easter. And we have coming up on the Saturday morning property market update for you. We're going to be looking at a new development, talking also about mortgages. House Safe is off plan. So all that's coming up in just a moment with our Saturday morning property market update. Now, we've talked about for a while about the rental market, which is going up and is pretty consistent. But can you imagine paying 16 million dirhams per year for a 10-bedroom signature villa on Palm Jumeirah? Of course, where else, with its own cinema, techno gym? Not too sure what a techno gym is. I'm going to ask Michael about that. He might know. Versace furniture, we know. Private elevator, spa and sauna. So that's all sort of thrown in. But yeah, it's a lot of money. $16 million a year for a 10-bedroom villa.
It's the Saturday morning property market update. Join us for a deep dive into the world of real estate on the Dubai Property Podcast.
And joining me this morning, once again, we've got Michael Doyle. Lillian Le Campion is back from her skiing. And we've got Mario Volpe, all here working in the Dubai property market to help us understand the latest property news for you and me. Michael, let me come to you. Wouldn't it be nice, eh, sitting back in a 10-bedroom villa, relaxing, although I'd have to say I'd have to have plenty of money to be able to afford that.
It's incredible, Craig. I mean, obviously, it's a very, very elite clientele paying that. But I'm not surprised. Like, there's a very, very famous celebrity I follow on YouTube, and he was actually complaining recently in a video. He was paying $50,000 a day to rent on the Palm, which works out at around $18 million. And his complaint was that someone had come and outbid him. So, you know, it does come up and they do rent for that money, but out of this world, yeah. You mentioned Techno Gym, actually, Craig. Techno Gym is probably one of the best gym brands in the world, and a lot of the new towers are incorporating techno gym stuff now in their towers. If you went to a gym once in a while, Craig, you might be familiar with it.
Well, actually, I do go to the gym. I've been going to the gym for the last 25 plus years, but I haven't heard of techno gym. But thanks for the education on that. Really appreciate it. What about you, Mario? Did you know what techno gym is all about?
Yes, Craig. Good morning to everybody. I do know what Techno Gym is because it's a very famous Italian brand. So that's, Michael actually beat me to it to tell you what Techno Gym is. So yeah, I'm up there, even though I haven't been going to the gym for 25 years. So yeah, I do know what that is. Now, listen, going back to this story, it's a fantastic story, obviously, for the listeners around the world to see exactly how much some of these villas are achieving. And it is really right at the top end. Despite what Michael's story about his influencer, the norm now on a luxury villa, I would say, is probably around 2, 3, possibly 4 million dirhams, which is four times less than what this 10-bedroom has been rented for. So it's still a lot of money. Obviously, pocket change to some of these celebrities, I guess.
Yeah, pocket change, exactly right. Well, Michael, we talk about some of these smaller developers coming into the market of Dubai. Now, Submana, they're a developer that is injecting $3.4 billion into the Dubai market this year with their developing.
That's right, Craig. For the listeners who are not familiar with Submana, they're actually a small but growing developer in Dubai, and they feature very elegant and kind of well-designed projects. Most of their launches in Dubai, which total just over 20 projects at the moment, have a sort of Mediterranean feel to them. And Submana were one of the first, if not the first developer to introduce this concept of a private pool on every balcony, and actually continue to incorporate that on every project they launched. So my very first off-plan deal as a broker in Dubai was actually a Submana project named Miami. So I've been a fan of this developer for a while now. This this announcement stated that they will award a further 18 construction contracts to contractors across the course of this year. So safe to say the listeners will be seeing a lot more Samana in 2024 if they're, you know, if they're keeping a close eye on Dubai's off-plant sector.
Yeah, very bold in terms of sort of bringing that sort of money into the kitty. So with that in mind, let's have a look at the off-plan market, because every now and again, we do hear about people losing money through off-plan purchases in Dubai. Want to come to you, Lillian, because there are some safeguards that people can put in place.
Yes, there are indeed, Craig. I've actually currently got a few Australian investors. I have to admit, it's taking a lot of convincing to persuade them to invest in off-plan in Dubai. This is just because it's so fast-paced. They know it's a great investment. They know that the projects are good. The capital appreciation is really high, but they just really struggle to get their heads around how fast they need to act. And look, there are risks that come with investing on off-plan properties, such as delayed completions, changes in the product specifications. There's even the possibility, of course, that the developer may abandon the project in the past. In order to protect from these kind of risks, the government, the Dubai Land Department and RERA, they've instigated regulations that all developers must comply with. And there are five of these. There's proof of ownership. So the developer has to prove that they own the land on which the project is to be built. And this avoids any legal battles in the future between master developers and shows that they have the amount of money in their land asset.
And Mario, you've got some comments with regard to this.
Yes, I do. And one of the things that are really, really important for the listeners to understand is that a developer cannot actually start selling a project unless either they have 20% of the project value in the escrow, or that they have actually built 20% of the property before they actually start selling. Most developers actually opt by putting the value into escrow so that they can start literally from scratch.
And also something that people should keep in mind, Lillian, is the brokerage contract.
Yes, of course, this is the most important thing for the likes of us real estate brokers. Basically, the developer has to have a contract with the brokerage before giving permission to the broker to market this project, which is obviously very important so that you know that you've got peace of mind. And then, of course, the amenities in the building have to be complete before the units get handed over. So this just guarantees that the investors get a completed property with all the promised amenities. So hopefully I have managed to assure some of my Australian buyers that investing in off-plan in Dubai is very safe.
Yeah, and you just wanted to jump back in there, Mario, with regard to those investors that Lillian was talking about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I want people to understand that it isn't just, dare I say, Australian investors that might be cautious. It's human beings are cautious. So it doesn't matter from which country they come from. You know, if they're coming to a different country to invest, obviously it's a lot of money. Even when you're buying it through a developer and you're paying it bit by bit, it's daunting. And what's daunting is the speed that we are having to ask our investors to move at. You know, they're buying a property. So in their eyes, they want to take their time. They want to actually, you know, soak everything in before literally pressing that button. But here in Dubai, especially on off-plan, you don't have that luxury. So invariably, what buyers tend to do is they are cautious, they wait a bit, and then after one or two days, they'll come back and say to the agent, yep, we'll go ahead, only to find that that particular unit has gone. There might be others, but they won't be where they want them to be, and certainly the price will be different. So my advice is to get hold of a trusted agent and be assured that they do have all the contracts in place. And then if you like the unit, just go for it.
There it is. Go for it. Mario Volpi is telling you. All right. Well, let's go to you, Michael, because these World Guinness records, they just keep on falling, and they're happening in Dubai around the property market. One Zabil, tell us what has happened here.
That's right, Craig. I mean, considering the amount of work that goes into developing these skyscrapers, oftentimes the structure is up for quite a while before handover. I can remember coming to Dubai 3 years ago and saying to my colleagues, you know, look at that for a building. It's absolutely incredible. And of course, it was probably around 70% finished at that time, but it looked complete from the outside. For the listeners, looking at this from a structural perspective in person, it's just jaw-dropping, Craig. It may not be as tall as the Burj Khalifa, but the Japanese architect Nikin Sekai, who I'm sure Lillian is a fan of, showed the world that, you know, Dubai is not just about the tallest this and the biggest that, but it's about progress and structural art, for want of a better analogy. So yes, Craig, the world's tallest cantilevered structure is officially One Zabil Dubai, and I can't even get into the interior of this building or we'll be here all day.
Yeah, no, understandably. Okay, let's talk about mortgages now. Now, they're increasing with more people, of course, borrowing money in Dubai to get their properties. And Lillian, you have your own story that is going to help guide people today in the right direction who are looking perhaps at getting a bank loan.
Yes, I hope so, that my own personal story can help listeners. So as regular listeners may know, I just bought an apartment in the Marina. The contract F has been signed, and because I'm getting a mortgage, we're now at the bank evaluation stage. So in a nutshell, this is where the bank sends a third party, so an independent evaluator, out to the property, and they look around, they look at past sales, they look at upgrades, the floor, the view, and they say, okay, this is how much we think the property is worth. They then take this number back to the bank, and the bank will readjust how much they're willing to lend you based on this evaluation. So as I mentioned previously in other podcasts, we agreed a price with the seller of $1.8 million. We assumed the bank would lend us 60% of this, so that's $1.08 million, meaning we have to provide $720,000 ourselves. So in actual fact, the evaluation has come in at $1.65. This means that we actually need to find an additional 90,000 dirhams at the last minute to make up the difference. So I actually tell this story as a bit of a caution to anyone going into a mortgage deal. Just make sure that you have a clause saying that if the evaluation falls outside of, say, 5% of the purchase price, you do actually have the right to withdraw without losing your deposit. Look, in our case, we are lucky enough to be able to pull together this extra 90K, but I do actually have a colleague who had a deal that was worth 10 million dirham. The mortgage evaluation came in at 9, which doesn't sound like that much difference, but the buyer obviously couldn't find an extra million dirham to make up the difference, and he had to pull out.
Yeah, you've only got a budget for so much. And then obviously once you breach that, very difficult in many instances trying to find extra money. Dubai Investments, now they are a developer in Dubai known for developing industrial and logistics parks, but they have now announced their first venture into the residential market in the form of a new tower. Where is the new tower? It is in Jumeirah Village Circle. Only one person to go to with this news, because he's got his finger on the pulse there. Michael, what's happening?
That's right, Craig. I'm not super familiar with this developer for obvious reasons, as you mentioned. They're mostly involved in industrial undertakings in areas like Jebel Ali and in other Emirates. But to be honest, it's hardly surprising, Craig. JVC has earned quite a reputation as a high-returning yet affordable area for investors in Dubai these past few years. So it makes sense to debut our first residential tower here, which will be named Violet Tower, by the way. And we'll have 27 stories, excluding the four parking levels. I've actually recently moved into Jumeirah Village Circle, or JVC, myself just last week, Craig. And the one thing I noticed is the sheer scale of construction happening. Like from my balcony, I can see, I think I counted them the other night, there was 19 different towers in the distance under development. So it's no surprise developers looking to launch their first tower target such a booming location.
What I want to know, though, is elevator speed, Michael. How fast is that elevator? Something we were talking about the other day.
You know, it's pretty fast, but it doesn't need to be that tall because there's not a lot of skyscrapers in JVC. Like my building is 3 floors. So, you know, even if it went pretty slow, I'd be up there pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, Mario was the one that was telling us all about that. And yeah, with good reason, you've got to have those fast elevators. Well, the weekend, Easter weekend. So what are you up to, Mario? Have you sold that Jaguar yet?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I did it yesterday, yes.
Wow.
Finally. However, I do have a bittersweet experience. I feel I've given it away, but it's got to the stage where I just had to sell it. So, yeah, goodbye to the Jag, but I'm happy with my new car, so all good.
How many Ks did the Jag have on the clock? I think you said about 100,000.
No, not as much as that. It was well catered for, Craig. It was just under 79,000.
Wow.
And considering I had it for close to 6 years, it's a very low mileage car.
Well, nice to know that you've quit your car. We will catch up with you on Tuesday. So enjoy your weekend, Mario, Lillian and Michael.
Yes, happy Easter to anyone that's celebrating, and I'll speak to you all next week.
Happy Easter and enjoy some chocolate out there.
Very happy Easter to the listeners and speak to you next week, Craig.
What to buy, where to live and things to avoid every week on the Dubai Property Podcast.
Some economists have said that we're in this sort of soft correction. Yeah, the numbers kind of speak for themselves. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Like it's just building on top of last year if you look at 2023.
Yeah, I think there is still momentum in the market. I mean, obviously that's what we're seeing and we're it's a looking back view of the market, even though it's only a month ago. So we've always got to remember that. I think what is going to be the headwind for the market, if our target is on a correction, what's going to cause that? We're probably entering the phase of the cycle where we're going to go into a period of more supply than we've had launched into the market in the next 2 to 3 years. So potentially that might be a turning point.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing and expanding. The Dubai Property Podcast for all things real estate.